Dear friends, hello. Welcome to the Quetzalcoatl Cultural Institute. Dear friends, you are at home here. We are going to study today a very interesting subject and of great interest for all humanity. We are going to talk indeed about alcoholism. It is very important that we study this subject in depth and above all, that we always better understand this serious problem, this vice, this disease. It is in our inner world, and it has destroyed our lives. It is necessary that we understand well, because it is this creative understanding which will be the base of our emancipation, which will allow us to leave these vices behind, removing or violently rejecting things does not eliminate them at all, because the psychological defects then come back with much more force if we do that. It takes creative understanding. We need to be able to disintegrate all of these psychological defects. In mythology, alcoholism is a demon. It is enough to see how he takes possession of us when we drink, when we get drunk. It's as if we were possessed, because we do senseless things. We fight, we rape, we kill, we cause accidents. We only have to see how many crimes, suicides, violence, and other very negative facts are perpetrated in the world because of alcohol. In mythology, therefore, it is associated with the star Algol, which is on the head of Medusa, the constellation of Medusa, which was cut off by Perseus. Algol means demon, yes. That is what it literally means. Alcohol comes from the word Algol in mythology, and Algol means demon, that's for sure. We all justify our vice of alcohol. We drink because we are sad, because we are happy, because our football team lost, because they won. We drink to celebrate the new year. We drink for child's birthday. We drink because we have passed exams. We drink because we are admitted to the university. Everything is an excuse to drink alcohol. Isn't it? We can say frankly and without hesitation that it is a demon, a demonic entity that is within us. It is an I, an ego, and in saying this, we are not mistaken. It is a demon that we have created in ourselves, a demon that brings us to intoxication with all these terrible consequences, which can take us to delirium tremens, which can take us to death and madness, not to mention the problems that this can cause in our descendants, such as paralysis, for example. Do you understand? It is not nothing. We justify it, of course, saying that it makes us happy during a party or a celebration, but are we sure that we need to drink alcohol to be happy, to have a good time? We can be happy and joyful without needing a cup of wine. Alcohol means we feel very manly when they drink. Not to mention that nowadays, the woman does not escape alcohol either. We really have the wrong idea of manhood and what it means to be a man. Very wrong. In our time, we begin this vice of alcohol on school benches. We have to realize this. We have to understand this problem frankly. Alcohol has a vibratory tendency which disintegrates, which destroys our cells. Alcohol transforms every cell of our body into something that is not at all suitable for our organism, which destroys it. And despite that, we justify it. We justify it by very many pretexts. It eliminates our ability to think and it comes to strengthen what is called fantasy. When we drink, when we get drunk, even if it's within the family, we often say, yes, of course, I drink from time to time, the end of the week, the weekends, to be a little more happy, to be relaxed, or during a party, but I know how to stop and I don't fall down completely drunk. Come on, leave me alone, get a break. This is what we always say to justify this demon that we ourselves have created, developed, and fed for centuries. We did not create it in this life, no. We have it from previous lives, and we have strengthened it throughout our lives. This demon of alcohol greatly strengthens the fantasy, and this fantasy develops the famous contralt buffer organ, or contraltiguador organ, which is the origin of the ego. For someone who seeks light, wisdom, and gnosis, if he gets drunk, he rekindles within his egos that he may have already eliminated. Then he revives within him some egos that he had already disintegrated and eliminated by the great work on himself or herself. With alcohol, these psychological defects come back. These psychological defects are reborn like the phoenix, and they are then even more powerful. Alcohol destroys our ability to judge serenely, that is, eliminating us the ability to decide the acts of our lives. We lose our sense of ethics, moral, we feel superior to others, it takes away our freedom. When we are drunk, we can be easily manipulated. We are very sensitive to suggestions of any kind. When we are drunk, we can be told anything. Jump off this wall. Undress. Do this or that. You are not able to do this or that. Fight. Don't let yourself be done. Etc. And we obey under the influence of alcohol. Alcohol has the gift of ubiquity. The gift of ubiquity is the one that has or had San Francis of Assisi. He had it. Yes, but in a positive way, of course. But when we speak of the demon alcohol, of this vice that we have in ourselves, of these alcoholic selves, or egos who live in our interior, of these psychological demons, we see that they have the gift of ubiquity also. Indeed, we can see this demon in the poor peasant, in the worker who earns very little in spite of great and hard work, and who can barely feed himself. They drink to forget, to stop feeling humiliated and underestimated. They drink because they have no food. There is, of course, alcoholism among poor and ill people, but we also see the demon of alcohol in the middle classes and in the privileged classes. We see alcohol in these beautiful baccarat crystal cups in men, also in women, teenagers, old people. We see it everywhere. It doesn't matter the age, it doesn't matter the social classes. The alcohol demon is found everywhere. This is why it is said to have it has a gift of ubiquity. It is a terrible demon. We find it in the doctor, in the worker, in the peasant, in the woman, in the engineer, in the trader. This demon is everywhere at once. He infiltrates everywhere. It is sad to see how governments want to fight alcoholism by launching campaigns, but at the same time they support themselves, these campaigns, in a big way with the money from alcohol sales. How can we judge and reject the person who drinks if the government itself promotes alcoholism? We have to study and see all aspects of alcohol. You have certainly heard of or read Dante Alighieri's Divine Comedy, in which he speaks of the nine Dantesque circles, in which one hears cries, howls, gnashings of teeth, and other equally terrible cries in the abyss. Well, it is in these places, that alcoholism takes us. It takes us over there. It takes us down there. The vibration we have when we drink alcohol takes us down into the lower dimension of nature, into the infra dimensions of nature. The Dantesque circles. Hell. When we have the vibrations of alcohol, we submerge ourselves in the lower dimensions of nature. We are in phase with the Dantesque circle, in symphony with the Dantesque circles, in which Dante the Florentine speaks to us in the Divine Comedy. Those circles, those dimensions, those places, are our reality. When we get drunk, we descend into Dante's circle voluntarily. It is a sad reality. Master Samael tells us in his book The Social Transformation of Humanity the following. The dictators of all time, the tyrants, are not unaware that a people who drink is more easier to govern, to manipulate, and to keep in slavery than a people who do not drink. It is for this reason that the authorities and have always authorized all alcoholic beverage. Realize there are fewer and fewer schools and more shops selling alcohol. There is a school very close, but we can count down even 7 alcohol shops. Just one simple block away. Where are we going to stop? Where are we going to open our eyes and see all of this all around us? How it is possible that we are allowing more and more alcohol sales? Well, yes, as Master Samael says, dictators of all times, the tyrants, are not unaware that it is easier to govern and maintain in slavery a people when they drink than a clean or people. It is much, much easier, and it is the reality. We fall into the clutches of alcohol like imbeciles, and we no longer have the possibility to reflect and to think. We give away that capacity voluntarily when we drink alcohol. Alcoholism has 3 perfectly defined phases. First, there's the initiation. Many of us start drinking alcohol during our teenage years to show that we are men, don't we? That we are manly and strong. They drink to be accepted by friends, to be integrated into groups, and the girls do the same thing. Teenagers have a false conception of friendship, maturity, and manhood. We have a false concept of what it is to have class. We believe that to smoke, to drink, to have a very young sexuality, to fornicate, to get drunk, is to have class. This will give us value and courage. What this will give to the woman of the class and thus be integrated, accepted. But all this is only a degeneration. To act in this way is to be degenerated. Our society is going from bad to worse. Our grandparents had psychological defects, of course, biases, certain deficiencies and certain biases, and our parents are not better than them. They are perhaps even worse than our grandparents, with more biases and aberrations, more faults. And now there is more homicide and degeneration, and we got even worse. And we all have this bruised vice in us. There is a very interesting Arab legend which says that a man who was wandering in the forest suddenly found himself face to face with a terrible demon who said to him, "I will kill you. I am a demon and I will kill you. But if you don't want me to kill you, you must kill your father. And if you don't want to kill your father, then you have to rape your sister. And if you don't want to kill your father or rape your sister, you have one last choice. You have to get drunk. If you don't want me to kill you, you have to choose between these 3 solutions." The man, not wanting to kill his father or rape his sisters, decided to get completely drunk. And when he was completely drunk, he killed his father and raped his sister. This legend shows us very well what alcohol makes us to do. We have a false concept of manhood, of what it is to be of class, to have class, and to be accepted by others. we almost all start our drinking habit during adolescence. We drink when we are with friends. We drink because of great bitterness. We drink because of disappointment in love. We fall into clutches of alcohol, even though we certify it will never happen to us. We say we drink to feel good, to feel comfortable and happy. Then we can control ourselves, control our alcoholism. That's what we always say. But alcohol is a demon, or rather a set of devils, a group of demons that live in our inner world and that we strengthen little by little. They have been there for many existences, waiting, and if we are not alert, as in a wartime, very, very alert of what is going on in our psychological world, they will swallow us up and destroy us. When we sink into alcoholism, we no longer respect anything. There are children who drink alcohol. They inherit what they see in their home. The father drinks and the mother drinks, so such father like son, children drink. If we drink in front of our children, that is that example that we will give them. That is what they will learn. My father drinks, or my mother drinks, so that's a good thing. It's okay. We, as a child, think. And the child traces the path of alcohol too. There is no age to start. As adults, we drink because of the death of a loved one, or because of a disappointment, because of a divorce, or we lost a job, which is common these days. And we take comfort in alcohol. We all have this vice of alcohol in us, in one way or another. We are all made the same. So it is indispensable that we observe ourselves, that we know who we really are and see ourselves how we really are. Sometimes we drink a little, but very often it's like swallowing teeny pieces of glass. Every day, a little bit. Over time, it will hurt us. It will damage our body. Many of us have this bite of alcohol in us, in a latent state, well hidden, without our suspecting it, without our knowing it. Well, that's fine. A small glass of alcohol from time to time, it doesn't really matter. It's very good. But if this delicious little glass of wine is very frequent, and if we do it often, we must be careful. A little drink once in a while is not bad, but come on, we are doing it every day. When we are doing it every day, a little orange juice with a little rum or a little pastis in the morning every day. This is how the eye of the ego or the demon of alcohol is fed. It's fortified, but to do it every day or every 3 days or every weekend for a long time, it is something else. Something else is going on there. And we have to be sincere. We have to be honest with ourselves. The alcohol is encrusted like small pieces of glass in our organism, little by little. And it is probable that one day, at the slightest hard blow, at the slightest disappointment, at the slightest bitterness or the death of a loved one, we will fall into the clutches of alcohol. Because we have fed it every day for a long time. It has become very fortified, so fortified that it dominates our mind and it dominates our feelings. In the beginning, when we start to drink, our organism, which is very intelligent, rejects this drink, this alcohol, and it is logical. He rejects alcohol because it is not something natural for it. Well, maybe on December 31st, or on a very special date for us, we drink a small glass of cider or something similar. It's not a big deal. It won't hurt us. But beware, only a small glass. 1. There are people who know how to do very well not to drink too much during a party, and who are very diplomatic and very skillful. Pretend to drink and spend a very good evening without drinking alcohol. But when we drink too much, This is obvious that our organism reacts and rejects the drink. He wants to expel this thing that is hurting him, which is why vomiting, stomach ache, and what is generally called the next morning the hangover happen. These are body's natural reaction to something that knows to be harmful to it, and that will do it a lot of harm. But we have within us a very malignant will. We see the terms we use. Demon, evil, evil will. It is thought that the devil, the evil one, witchcraft, which is black magic attacks, are things that are far away of us. And we imagine an old lady, all in black, with a pointed hat and a big wart on her nose, next to a cauldron, with hands with big nails who throws frog powder into it, or who sticks needles in a rag doll while giggling. Yes, this is how we imagine the work of black magic or the work of sorcery, but in reality, it is not that at all. That is not the reality. In truth, black magic is everywhere these days, on television, in culture, or in what we call culture, in quotation marks. It is found in science, cinemas, internet, the media, and in social networks. Do you really think that the atomic bomb is not an act of black magic? Isn't black magic hurting humanity, hurting our fellow human beings? Isn't the atomic bomb the worst act of black magic then? When children, women, and old people die, when plants and trees die, when the rivers, the oceans, and the sea are completely contaminated, are these not acts of black magic? And is the person who drinks not connected with evil? We impose the demonic evil that we have created on our body. We impose this dark and egotistical evil in our body, against our body. We come to dominate all reactions, the defenses of our organism. We overcome them, and we enter the second stage of alcoholism. The second stage of alcoholism is poisoning or intoxication. It is when we do not feel well, when we do not drink alcohol. We have the impression that everything is going well, but we have become an alcoholic. We can no longer do without it. Our body is intoxicated and can no longer do without this alcohol. We don't feel well at all if we don't drink. If we are surgeons, we can no longer operate without having a glass of alcohol before entering the operating room. Our body is intoxicated and dependent of alcohol. We have violated our body with our evil, and our body now needs it, needs alcohol. It is used to it. And this surgeon, if he does not drink before operating, then he is not able to operate well. He's not confident. It is the same for the tradesman, for the worker, for the peasant, for the operator. If they don't take their small glass of alcohol before, business is not going to be successful, or the job is not going to be done right. If we don't have our little beer before going to the factory, we don't feel well. When a moral tragedy occurs, which is in fact the detonator of the act of getting drunk, we drink and we drink to forget, to escape from this suffering that we feel. But we also make these people suffer. We do not realize that if we are destroying our body, we are also destroying the life of our parents or children or spouse. We also prepare future in our next existence, or we prepare ourselves for a terrible, unhappy, painful old age. Do you want to know your future? Maybe your future life? Did ancient tradition ask? Well, get to know your present. What we do today in our present will be our future. We are sowing today what we will harvest later. This moral tragedy that we are experiencing fuels this incitement to drink. People who drink but eat take a little longer to die, because the digestive tract does not directly impact our body. And we have seen that those who eat when they drink live a little longer, but those who don't eat when they drink die much faster. And that brings us to the third stage of alcoholism, which is the death. We said that the first stage of alcoholism was initiation, the second stage of alcoholism was intoxication, and the third was death. Yes, it is toward death that alcoholism leads us. Death, when one is an alcoholic, is terrible. There is an hepatic ulcer, cirrhosis, or the liver, or bloody diarrhea. Of course, even delirium tremens. All these illnesses are the consequences of alcohol, even though alcoholics have always claimed that they were not, that they could control themselves, but they always end up that way. They can also die because they crossed the street while drunk and were run over or caused very serious accidents because they drove while drunk. Alcohol is a demon that we ourselves have created within us. The psychology of the alcoholic is truly lamentable. We spend all our money on booze, all our pay, we squander all our savings, and we run out of money, we become booze beggars. Nothing is more important for us than alcohol, neither the things of the soul, nor the things of the spirit, nor the responsibilities, nor the honesty matter to us. At the same time, we feel superior to others, and we think, oh, I'm not like these people, completely stupid. I'm superior to them. These people who walk around with their family, they're ridiculous. No, I'm not like them. I'm superior to them. I'm free. I'm virile. And I go home when I want. We lose all interest for these beautiful virtues. They disappear. Alcohol affects our mind, our heart, and we cannot hold ourselves back. Alcohol dominates us in all aspects, moral, emotional, mental. Visions during delirium tremens or with drugs, whether they are chemical or natural like marijuana, peyote, etc., ayahuasca, or all the plants and drugs that exist in society today, they all affect our fantasy. What is interesting to know is that taking mastiffs and alcohol will esoterically activate the chakras in a negative way. Indeed, the chakras can be activated positively or negatively. And in the case of taking drugs or alcohol, it activates them negatively. The chakras activate positively with meditation, vocalization, concentration, with the disintegration of our defects or psychological defects, but they activate negatively with drugs and alcohol. So, the delirium tremens visions of drunks are very real. What they see in their visions actually exist. Do you realize what we are saying? What we mean is that with alcohol we awaken negative clairvoyance, infraconscious, unconscious and subconscious clairvoyant. With these negative faculties we descend into the lower regions of nature. These are demons that we see and they really exist in the infra dimensions of nature. Yes, those horrible things that we see in delirium tremens do exist, but in the infra dimensions. It is in these regions that alcohol leads us, and even if it hurts us, we always want to justify it. If you want to continue drinking, well, go on. We don't forbid anything, but be afraid or be aware of the consequence of this alcohol and drugs. We know that it affects the fantasy and it increases the power of the Kundalini organ and causes psychological aggregates to be reborn. If you want to justify yourself, go on. As anyone who drinks or takes drugs always does, they always want to justify their actions. This behavior shows that they feel much superior to others, but this is not the case. The visions that we see with drugs or with alcohol actually exist in the infinite dimensions of nature. In the Apocalypse of St. John, in the Book of Revelation, we speak of the great prostitute of this beast whose number is 666, and which arises from the abyss, which arises from the pit of the abyss, and from this pit of the abyss come out vapors, and these vapors are alcohol vapors. Our society, like a mechanical wheel, turns and turns because of alcohol, so it is rotten on all sides and everywhere. The taking of alcohol is justified. You really have to be radical with alcohol. You must not negotiate with it, nor make any arrangement, because it will always drag us into the abyss. Always. Always. It is impossible to do business with the demon. It is like making pacts with the devil. That's what alcohol business is all about. There are people who say they have a lot of willpower, but who every day take alcohol, saying that it's good for the flu, that it's good for digestion, that it's good for many things. Here in Mexico, we say that when everything is good, we drink mezcal, and when everything is bad, too. That's what we say here in Mexico. This is another justification of those who drink. It is not very pleasant to hear, but it is so. We Mexicans are, alas, the people who drink. We get drunk at the slightest occasion with pulque or with the drink of maguey. Maguey is used to heal many things when it is not fermented. It is really wonderful. But when fermented, it is not so wonderful. It is with this fermented drink coming from maguey that we get drunk. That we get drunk, and many declare that it is for digestion, that it is for the headache, etc., etc. And every day we take our small glass of alcohol. It is as if we let enter into our organism, into our interior universe, atoms of the secret enemy, which will gradually become embedded in our body. Our organism is a miniature universe. Inside there are powers of good and power, and also powers of evil. There are defender atoms in our organism that are intelligent and alive, but there are also secret enemy atoms that seek to make us sick, that lead us into lust, into an unhealthy state, atoms that lead us to negligence and laziness, atoms that cause us to be unhealthy or not to pay attention anymore. We are a real miniature universe. Our liver is a marvelous organ. It has worker atoms that work hard to perform all the functions of the liver. There is intelligence and life there. But there are also atoms of the second enemy, and when we drink, when we take alcohol, even if we say that we do it under control, we bring in these atoms of the secret enemy, which feed day after day and patiently waiting for us to experience a tragedy, a drama, the loss of a loved one, a divorce, the loss of a job, or whatever else, to arise and dominate us. They are very patient. They are there in our body. We even allow them to enter. We absorb them every day when we drink alcohol. We cannot do business or negotiate with the demon of alcohol. That is why we must be very vigilant, very attentive. It is really urgent that we understand that it is not with simple laws that we are going to be able to fight alcohol or drugs. It is not by prohibiting them or nor by justifying them, as we do know, that we will solve this problem. And if we accept the legalization of drugs, as some countries want to do, there will be a lot of problems. Look what is happening with alcohol. it has become legal and we are constantly seeing accidents due to alcohol consumption, homicides, violence, crimes. So if drugs become legal, it will be exactly the same as with alcohol. We don't fix anything by prohibiting or allowing drugs or alcohol. That's not how we fix things. We need understanding. You need to know and know all the evil that alcohol makes us, all the harm that alcohol brings to us. We need anti-alcohol teachers. Anti-alcohol teachers. We must urgently create a new profession. There must be anti-alcohol specialists who teach us from the school benches and even from the kindergarten, who teach all the dangers of alcohol. We must create this new material in primary and school, high schools, universities, religious schools, religious associations, civil associations. We must teach it everywhere. We must understand all the evil that alcohol does to us. Only in this way we can fight against this demon and avoid falling into this horrible vice of alcohol that lead and keep us in the abyss. It is knowledge and understanding that we need. Create competent anti-alcohol specialists and make it a separate subject such as chemistry, physics, biology, or mathematics to show and explain the effects of alcohol and its consequences. That these specialists are paid by the government as are the other professors. We really need this. What could also help is to make objective campaigns against alcohol on television during prime time and not at 1 o'clock in the morning, so that it is seen by many people. Anti-alcohol ads should also be run at the same time as alcohol ads, in the same time and in the same number, in the same frequency. The audiovisual system is excellent. The technology we have these days is wonderful. We have to use it for good. We have to do the same with the internet, videos, streaming. We could use all of this to show children, teenagers, adults, old people, all the harm that alcohol causes us and all the disastrous consequences to which it leads us. Above all, we must not forget the importance of the family nucleus, of home, of the family, my very dear friends, because we can never deny that it is in the family nucleus, in the family core, that we find the main basis of education. Leading by example is very important. If we ask our children not to drink before they are adults, and if we drink alcohol in front of them, if we get drunk in front of them, if we always have a glass of wine by hand in front of them, in front of our children, well, that's the example they'll follow. That's what they'll learn. The family home is the basis, the foundation of our society. However, it is now disintegrating. We must know and understand that the home, that home, it's a temple, and it is the basis, the bedrock of humanity. The family is the basis of creation, education, and it is by example that children learn. If we learn to control ourselves, if we learn not to drink, if we learn to have parties without control, celebrate Christmas and the New Year's Eve without alcohol, if we learn to have family reunions without alcohol, so that's what our children will learn. The family core is the base. The father, the mother are the excess of the earth. Teenagers are the axis of the earth. Our grandfather is the axis of the earth. We must know that it is by giving the example that our children will learn. We always say that everything that happened to us is the fault of the government, the fault of the teacher, etc. But the main thing is in the family, in the home. In Lemuria and in Atlantis, the main education was done in the home, at home, the family. We did not send children from 3 to 4 years old to school as nowadays. No, the parental home was the base. the bedrock of education. And it is for this reason that Lemuria and Atlantis during their golden age were extraordinary, flourishing, marvelous, because the children were learning all the basics in the family core or nucleus. Now, let's try to say what can be saved, and above all, educate people about the harm of alcohol, with example, on the internet, on television, with videos, paying attention to the things our children watch, and our teenagers, to pay attention to what they do on the net or in the video game. Parents need to really pay attention to all this and watch everything. The young person should also be aware of what he let into his mind and heard, and know how to reject anything that hurts him. These are foods for the mind and for the heart, and we must pay attention to this food, this nourishment. The parental home is fundamental for this, my dear friends. We can say that meditation and drunkenness are two completely opposite poles. Drunkenness is on the negative side and meditation on the positive side. Drunkenness, drugs, even if they are natural, and alcohol are on the negative side. Gnosis is against the marijuana. It's not at all for either peyote or any herb that exists in the world, even if the ancient shamans use them. We do not agree with all of this. If some do not agree with us, so be it, because we must say what Gnosis has verified, that when we used these plants as they are today, the only things we do is to fortify the terrible consequence of the conda buffer or conductivator organ and submerge us in the infra dimension of nature. And then, if you take these plants, don't come saying afterwards, "Ah, I lost my job, I lost my wife, I lost my son, everyone abandoned me." And how did you think you were going to keep them if every day you made you little trips in the corner with these drugs and alcohol? What do you want us to do there? You have a son who is paralyzed. Were you drinking, taking drugs? He went with these famous shamans in spiritual journeys, as this esoteric tourism, which are very fashionable nowadays, with shamanic initiations by drugs or who knows what. No, my friends, this is all complete nonsense. It is the antithesis of spirituality. Meditation submerges us into super dimensions of nature, and we have no need of plants or alcohol for this. And intoxication leads us to the contrary, to the infra dimensions of nature. Do you see the two poles? The two opposite poles? Meditation activates the chakras in a positive way, and drunkenness activates our chakras in a negative way. Meditation destroys the ego. Drunkenness fortifies the ego and revives the egos that we may have eliminated already. Which two antitheses? See what we mean by that. The solution to overcoming alcoholism is meditation. The more we go towards the opposite pole, the more we will emancipate ourselves, and the more we will free ourselves from these chains that we drag with us, with alcohol, by using alcohol and drugs. Meditation makes us experience reality. Drugs and alcohol make us descend into the infra dimensions, into suffering, illness and crime. These are two antitheses that can never be joined. And even if we want to try to bring them together, it's impossible, because they are two poles that are opposite to each other. Do you want to meditate with drugs? It is impossible. And if you do, you are completely lost and on the path of error. But each is the architect of his own destiny. Each chooses his path. We must follow the path of truth, the path of the Master Jesus of Nazareth, Quetzalcoatl, Hermes Trismegistus, follow it. When you are an alcoholic, one of the things we have to fight against are ultra-sensitive microorganisms that are created with drunkenness. When Louis Pasteur said that instruments had to be sterilized and very good at washing hands, everyone laughed at him. But when we later discovered that there were many microorganisms imperceptible to the naked eye, and that we could only see them with microscope, we stopped making fun of Louis Pasteur. But we must also say that not only are there bacteria and viruses in our physical world, but there are also bacteria and viruses in the fourth and fifth dimension. We call them ultra-sensitive organisms. Ultra meaning beyond, that is to say beyond the physical senses, but which really exist. Maybe one day physics at some point will discover special glasses that will allow us to see the fourth dimension, and then discover that diseases are caused by these ultra-sensitive microorganisms. Paracelsus, the great enlightened master, who was a doctor, called them larvae. But as this term bothers many people, we will call them ultra-sensitive microorganisms, and everyone will be happy. But it is indeed these same larvae, ghosts, dragons, and basiliscus, etc., of the master Paracelsus. These ultra-sensitive microorganisms are created by our vices. For example, when we are very selfish, we create in ourselves many of these microorganisms, and they hurt the vital body. They go to the astral body and feed on our vitality, and they incite us to reproduce what created them, the very same act. Which means that when we get drunk, we create larvae, ultra-sensitive alcoholic microorganisms that encourage us to drink again and again in order to be able to be nourished, to be fed. We can help clean ourselves of these larvae by taking baths with aromatic plants such as mint or chamomile, for example. We heat water in a pot with these plants as if to make a big tea, and we bathe with it. This will help us to cleanse our body of this ultra-sensitive microorganism. Burning juniper berries into charcoal also eliminates these larvae. We can also burn frailejón, which is a plant species like dwarf bamboo. We can also use a tiny bit of sulfur that we put on the soles of the feet between the shoe and the sock. Or burn one very little, but really very little, because it is a very unpleasant and very strong smell. A very small pinch of will suffice. The elementals that are in the sulfur burn all these larvae in the fourth dimension around us, in our surroundings. This ultra-sensitive microorganism, and this is a help for us. We must not forget meditation either, which will also help us a lot. But this aid will not be able to completely eliminate alcoholism. They will be able to help us to have a little more willpower to fight it, to fight this vice, this disease, or whatever you want to call it. But remember that it is egos that are responsible for this situation. But it is obvious that meditation is fundamental. The work with osmotherapy will also help us enormously. Therapy means a system to heal. And osmo comes from perfume. Dr. Arnoldo Krumheller, medic of the Mexican army, who was of German origin, was a true master. He was German, but he came to Mexico because he said that while others were going to India, he was coming to Mexico because that was where the real wisdom was. Well, ancient Mexico, of course. This doctor, this great master, said that we could help people in our family who had this vice of alcohol by using osmotherapy. If a person in our family had this vice, it is necessary first of all to love him very much and to have a lot of patience, which is not easy at all, but it is not impossible. It also takes a lot of work because there is no magic wand to cure alcohol. This person has to meditate a lot to destroy all these larvae, but also have to change the surrounding environment, the so-called friends, and change work if it encourages us to drink. If it is possible, of course. The person who drinks and wants to quit must make drastic decision, because otherwise alcohol will lead to the destruction of his home and his body, and ultimately lead to death, to misery, to illnesses. We must love this loved one very much if we want to help him. We all have this eye of ego of alcohol in us, even if we have never drunk alcohol in our life. This is why we have to be very vigilant, like a soldier in time of war. If we discover it, even if we do not drink, we have to work on this self, on this ego, during our meditation. Only this way we will avoid falling into alcoholism, and thus we will set an example for our children and help our parents to move forward. So, what we can do to help a loved one who is an alcoholic? Well, during the night, when he is sleeping, we will place ourselves at his bedside with much love and tenderness. And it will take a lot to do so, because we will have to do it for days and days, months and maybe years. We are therefore going to approach him during his sleep, and we will make him smell the perfume of roses. This smell will arrive in his subconscious, and with a lot of patience and love, we will take his right hand and explain to him all the consequences of alcoholism, all the harm that is done to his body, all the harm that is made to his family. Explain to him the three stages of alcoholism. Explain to him all about alcohol with a lot of patience and love. Our words will arrive in his subconscious little by little and gradually, and he will be able to get out of the clutches of this vice, that is alcohol. We can do the same for any drug. It takes a complete job. We don't have to do just one thing. We have to see all the aspects of alcoholism and drugs. We have to discover the root of this evil in us. We have to discover the cause of our tragedies, of conflicts, and understanding that we are not the only ones to have these faults, but that all of humanity has them. We must get out of this, absolutely. If we lose a loved one, we must tell ourselves that death is something normal, natural. And as the Master Buddha said, we all are born. We get sick, we grow up, and we age, and we will all die one day. This is normal. We must understand this so that this loss does not harm us in such a way that we end up falling into alcohol. Here are my friends. We have finished this lecture of alcoholism, and we are going to recommend that you read the book of Master Samael Aumbeor, The Introduction to Gnosis, Chapter 8, so that you study it perfectly, because it is very important that we know and understand this subject thoroughly, for ourselves and for humanity. Dear friends, please consider that starting the next week, we will return to the lectures live on Tuesday evening, the exact moment to be told, all right? But the more possible thing is that we will return to the same time, 8 o'clock Central Time, Central Standard Time, around 8 o'clock, maybe a little bit later. Alright, but we will return to our Tuesday lectures. Dear friends, thank you so much for being with us.